Yeah. Yeah.
God, drink. You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
That's how you keep that body running. All the coolest, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Anita Marks with you on this Sunday morning here on 98.7 ESPN. Typically, we like to call this show Sunday Fun Day. Hopefully, as the weather continues, hopefully starts getting warmer, then I'm sure there will be Sunday Fun Days because we can finally get out again. Coming to you live from my home studio, back holding down the fort is Ty and Michael today. Gentlemen, good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Yo, yo, yo. Anita.
Yo.
You missed me last weekend, I heard.
I did miss you. Happy belated birthday, by the way. We did give you a shout out on the air, by the way.
Thank you.
Even though you weren't here, we were thinking about you, and hopefully you had a fantastic birthday.
28 and strong. Got a chance to see the little one who turns 23 weeks tomorrow. So,
oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is so. So let me ask you, and of course what Ty's talking about is that him and his lovely wife are expecting. So I just out of curiosity, like the first time you go for the ultrasound, are you like, don't let it be twins. Don't let it be twins. like is that even a thought that creeps into your mind?
Yes.
And is there anxiety when the first time you see, you know, the little nugget on the ultrasound?
Now, yes. So the politically correct answer is to say, you know, you just want them to be healthy, however many you'll take it. But for us, that's a pretty significant jump going from 0 to 2. That's a lot to handle.
Right.
But the uniqueness about what happened last weekend was because of the COVID protocols, when she goes to the GYN, I'm not allowed to actually go inside with her. So I've got to wait for her to text me or call me, FaceTime, video, that kind of thing.
Right.
So last week we found this studio that allowed, it's like independent of a hospital or a medical field. That allowed us to both go in. So it was the first time I was able to see little one, but I'm excited.
Oh, that's so nice.
Great.
Oh, and I'm sure tears were flowing knowing you.
No, I was just excited. I don't really show happiness through tears.
Now I do. Well, yeah. So I have, and it's actually, it's, I don't want to call it an illness, but it's a, a condition. Let's call it a condition.
Okay.
Where if I'm angry, I laugh.
Wow.
I know. And full disclosure, it is not good for relationships.
No, because it comes across as you're not taking them seriously.
Right. Right. And if somebody is upset with me or angry with me, and you know they raise, which doesn't happen often. Like you, Ty, you know me. I'm like a duck, right?
Yes.
Water off my, like, I'm very even keel. But if somebody's upset with me or there's some type of argument and they raise their voice, I can't help but laugh. I start laughing, and then that escalates. It's not good. It's not healthy. I can't control it either. And it's a condition. And then when I'm happy, I cry. I can't control that either. It's kind of, I don't know. My wires are crossed.
You're backwards.
I am. I'm very backwards, but I tell you, no, it is not good for relationships when you're having a heated discussion about something and, you know, you feel really strongly about it as well.
And then
you don't want that person to be upset with you. All you can do is laugh.
You know how irate I would be? I'm just pouring my heart out about all the frustration that's been building up over the last, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, and you just start
dying, like keeled over, like to the point where like my stomach hurts. I'm laughing, like it's really bad. It's really okay.
You call it a condition. I call it a fatal flaw.
It really is a thing. I mean, you should, you know, GTS. Google it. When we go to a break, it's called something. I don't know what. I should know more about it. I just don't. So do we know what sex it is? Do we know if it's what gender?
It's a boy.
Oh, okay.
It is a boy.
Wow. Okay. Cause I see you as like a daddy's little girl kind of dude.
Yeah.
A girl dad.
Yeah. That'll happen one day, but I'm excited to have a boy. It's just to mold him.
I'm sure.
It sounds crazy to say or funny to say, mold him the way that I want him to be, just like his dad. Like a little me. I'm excited.
I've always I've always said that if I had a child, and specifically if I had a son, I would just, from a very early age, I would just teach him how to long snap.
Because you want him to go to the NFL, but you don't want him to be part of the violence.
Yeah, just teach him how to be the best long snapper in the NFL. You know, he'll make anywhere between $1.7 to $3 million a year. That's my retirement.
There you go.
That's my retirement right there. Just teach my son how to long snap.
Well, if we could find you, remember when I first got here to the station back in April of 17, I was trying to find you a husband. We're still working on that.
It's okay. I'm good, boo. I'm good. All right. It is the Anita Marks Show here on this Sunday morning. Hope everybody is out there enjoying their weekend. This typically is like the worst. Let's be honest. No disrespect, Ty. I know you're a big NBA fan, but like this typically is like the worst week of the year when it comes to sports talk radio or just sports in general. I mean, let's be honest. What's going on right now? Well, there is a golf tournament going on right now. And if you know anything about me, you know that I love golf, and it's the Arnold Palmer Invitational happening in Orlando. But I'm not going to bore you the entire show, which, by the way, really excited to announce that On the Tee, my golf show is back. Not sure exactly when the launch date is. Did you hear this, Ty? We're coming back with the golf show. We're either going to launch a week or two before the Masters or the Sunday. And by the way, the show is moving to Sunday.
Wow.
So I know. So it was Saturday at 7 a.m. Get this, brace yourself. It's Sunday at 8 a.m. So it'll be an hour. It'll be an hour before this show. All strictly golf. You know, we'll come in, share with you what the leaderboard is. We'll give you, you know, the bets that we want, who we think is going to be active and attractive. Like right now, heading into this tournament, first thing I did, I woke up this morning around 5:30. First thing I did, I went online. I put $100 down on Bryson DeChambeau. Dude almost drove a 555 par 5 yesterday. Unbelievable. He is so on point. He's so dialed in, and he's one shot back. He's tied for second. Lee Westwood is at the top leaderboard at 11 under. Corey Connors is at 10, along with DeChambeau at 10. Listen, don't sleep on Jordan Spieth either. So what I did is, if you want to call it hedging a bet, I guess, but what I did is I put, you know, a pretty substantial amount of money on Bryson DeChambeau to win. You could get him at 2-1. And then I put a lower bit of money on Spieth and Keegan Bradley. And Bradley's odds to win are ridiculous. And again, he's only two shots back. So anyhow, really excited for the golf show to be back. Again, it will be Sunday at 8 a.m. Not sure exactly what our start date is. It's either going to be the Saturday leading into the Masters or a week or two before. So stay tuned for that. I'm really, really stoked about that, to be back in action with the golf show. But, you know, really, an NFL free agency, you know, some teams have shed some players, but brace yourself. I talked about this yesterday. I was on late yesterday afternoon into the evening because of the Rangers game. But, you know, this week is going to be pretty intense. And I've been talking about it for weeks now in regard to the pandemic and the salary cap and the cap space that has just been diminished. It was expected to be heading into this season. Teams were expected to have a salary cap space of like $280 million, right? And right now, heading into the calendar year, which I believe, if I remember correctly, is March 17th, is 180. So, you know, teams and front offices and their money gurus negotiated contracts and whatnot, anticipating $280 million. And that's not the case. So just brace yourself. This coming week is going to be a roller coaster ride in regard to the number of big name players that are going to have to be released. You know, and just off the top of my head, and I had David Cantor on my show again last night, and he was on the Week in Wager show that I host here on 98.7 ESPN on Friday nights, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Like names like Juju Smith-Schuster and Sammy Watkins. I mean, some big name players are going to have to be shed just because teams are not going to be able to afford them, and they're going to have to get down to that 180 mark by the calendar year, which again, I believe it's either March 14th, March 17th, something like that. So it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks, and that starts next week. I know there's been a lot of quarterback talk, quarterback carousel, more so this season than any other. about a month ago, Adam Schefter came out and said over under 18 quarterback changes at the quarterback starting position. 18 of the 32 teams. Are you kidding me? Adam said he's taking the over. Now that's not looking as crazy. We're going to dive into that today as well. Take a look around the landscape of the NFL and the quarterback situation. But really, the big news is the NBA. We're at the All-Star break, which a lot of us feel is the halfway point of the NBA season. I want to dive into some of the futures bets, what's out there. I touched on it a little bit yesterday in regard to the Nets. I feel really strongly about the Nets. Mark Berman from The Post is going to join us at 10 o'clock. And by the way, I just got a confirmation, Ty, that Moke Hamilton will join us at 11 as well. So a lot of NBA talk with those two dudes. And tonight is the NBA All-Star weekend. And the NBA All-Star weekend really has become an NBA All-Star Sunday. And so how is this going to play out? You've got the skills challenge and the three-point contest that are going to take place later on this evening around 6:30 prior to the All-Star game. And then this is where I think it gets really, I want you to marinate in this. We get back. I'd love your response on this. And this is where I think it just gets shady. And I don't know if shady is the right word. I think it does the slam dunk contest a disservice, and that is the slam dunk contest. It's going to happen at the halftime of the NBA All-Star game, which, let's be honest, that's kind of like what happens at a halftime. What happens during halftime at an event, right? It's usually like Pop Warner comes out and they have a little scrimmage, or, you know, dogs catching frisbees or something like I just, you know, halftime, what are you doing? You're getting that beer, you're getting that pretzel with the extra mustard on the sauce on the side. To have the slam dunk contest at halftime, and call me, listen, I've been in this business a long time. I don't shy away from my age. Like, I remember when the slam dunk contest was must watch television. It was appointment television. Like I'm from Miami, and you know, at that point in time, like, South Beach wasn't what South Beach is right now. Like, South Beach was just kind of hitting the scene when I had graduated college and I moved back home, and it was like South Beach was a happening. It was a thing. It was like, it was the and like, you'd have to pay. You would have to pay an entry fee at the door, a door fee, to get into sports bars on South Beach to watch the slam dunk contest with Drexler and Michael and Vince Carter. God, he's been in the league forever and a day, hasn't he? But it was a thing. It was an event. I won't put it up there with Tyson, because that was another can't miss, right? You know, you were dropping $100 as a door charge to get into a sports bar on South Beach to watch Tyson fight. But it was a thing. And this just feels so, should I use the word dirty? It's just and here's another thing. And Ty, again, I want you to answer this when we get back. Why no Zion? Are you kidding me? I mean, why no Zion? Why are these guys saying no? Is it because they weren't even born, right? And for the, you know, the listening audience out there who knows exactly what I'm talking about, when Jordan participated in the slam dunk contest, right? You taking you back to that feel, that vibe, that excitement, the anticipation. You just couldn't wait to see what Jordan was going to do. Is it that Zion just, is it because these young new players didn't even have no idea what that feeling is or what that experience was, or the nostalgia of what the slam dunk contest used to be? Like, I just don't why no Zion? We're going to get into a lot of different NBA talk. You know, Blake Griffin, is there a chance that he joins the Nets? Chances are he does. One of the two favorite teams for him to land on. Like, we're going to get into a lot of NBA talk. Again, like I said, a lot of NFL talk, landscape of the quarterback situation. But I just, you know, there's really not a lot going on except tonight. And I'm just curious, what's the vibe out there right now?
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I just want to say something, because there's no slander. There's no slander to the Utah Jazz, but you guys got to understand. You guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
LeBron, the video game.
Hold on. We got to leave it right there. No, you can say something.
I got to say one thing. LeBron says, I really need some size. And he got 7'5" Rudy Gobert.
Right.
And he goes with 6'2" Sabonis. Are you kidding me? I need some size. Rudy Gobert is 7'5". He takes the 6'2 guy.
Nobody plays video games.
I just knew he was going to go back.
The guys from TNT kind of having fun with LeBron and the team that LeBron picked. Keep in mind, All-Star, new format. It's been in existence for a few years, but LeBron and KD, captains, they picked their teams. LeBron's team is favored. It's now up to 4.5, by the way, which tells you that maybe some sharp money was placed on LeBron's team, and rightfully so. So quick breakdown in regard to the two teams that are going to be taking the court tonight. LeBron's team leads in the roster, okay, leads in assists, field goal percentage, and dunks. KD's team, they lead in points, okay? LeBron's team has 8 MVPs on it. KD's, only 1. And if KD was active and attractive and was playing tonight, then it would be 2, okay? But obviously, Harden is the only MVP on KD's roster. Both teams have 5 top 10 scorers on their roster. LeBron has 26 first-team All-NBA selections. KD only has 8. Now, this is LeBron's team this season. Their players combine for 29 triple-doubles. KD's team, only 10. And I'm sure a big portion of that 10 is Harden, let's be honest. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Frank in the Bronx. Frank, you're up.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How's everything?
Great. Thank you.
I'm a new listener, and I'm really enjoying your show. I just wanted to make a comment about what you said about the dunk contest being at halftime. I think obviously because there's no fans and the way everything's going with the pandemic, it has to be like that this year, do it in the halftime, because they kind of trimmed down the whole the event of the All-Star Week. It's not an All-Star Weekend like it used to be. So they're kind of trimming everything down. But I do agree the comment about, you know, the players that are in the dunk contest. When I was growing up, the dunk contest was the main attraction almost.
You know,
but you don't have those superstar players competing anymore like they used to. One time they actually changed it to the rising upcomers or something like the dunkers and things like that. They went a little bit younger, but you didn't have the Michael Jordan, the Dominique Wilkins, the guys who were all-stars in the league competing in the dunk contest, too. So that takes away from the flair of wanting to see it. I actually didn't even remember that this weekend was All-Star Weekend because there hasn't been too much, you know, promo or anything about it. So I almost forgot the All-Star game was tonight.
Frank, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you, sir?
I'm 48.
Okay. So you were a part of that time as well. You know what I'm talking about. I appreciate your call. Thank you. We've got some reaction on Twitter, by the way. Caitlin says, I agree. I'm sitting here watching old dunk contest, and they were so entertaining. Miss that. Chill Will on Twitter, which, by the way, you can hit me up at Anita Marks. Slam dunk contest was fire back in the day, especially on South Beach. Remember the vibes, All-Star Cafe on Ocean. Yes, dude, I do. I do, Chill Will. Oh, it was so fun. Oh, man. Take me back. I do, and we'll continue. Cliff, hang on one second. I'm going to get you your call, but I want to bring in Ty again. Ty, exceptional producer here at ESPN and a huge basketball enthusiast and NBA fan. So first things first, like I said, number one, and I understand that this is the way that this has to happen, right? The three-point contest and the skills challenge pregame, but the slam dunk contest at the half? Like, Here's another, like, if I'm these players, if I'm Team LeBron or Team KD, what are you doing at the half? That's, I mean, the slam dunk contest is going to take at least an hour and something. So, like, what are you going to re-shower? How are you going to get on a bike? Like, are you worried you're going to get injured? I mean, that's a lot of time on the DL before you come back and play the second half. I would imagine these guys have some concerns with that, don't you?
Well, it's not exactly like a playoff intensity game. These guys are going out there dunking and throwing alleys. They're not playing hard for the first three quarters anyway. So I don't suspect, you know, it's going to be a situation where cramping and, you know, you have to be concerned about all that. These guys, it's layup lines and dunks. So it's not like they're exhausting a bunch of energy. And having it at halftime, since they're doing all of these events in a span of, what, 7 hours, like, it makes more sense because you're not going to have a three-point shootout at halftime, dead legs. Some of the guys are participating in the All-Star game. So I don't mind the dunk contest being at halftime at all.
And you don't think it takes away from the – and here's another – is, you know, why no Zion? Oh, my God. I would pay money to watch Zion participate in this. That's another thing. Who's participating? I mean, Toppin, I'll put money on him just because we're New York Knicks fans. Does he have a chance? I mean, you know, Stanley is the one who's favored. 6'5", he's got a 4'4" vertical. And they clocked that when he was at Duke. But, like –
yeah, not a lot of star power here, but
exactly.
So I just want to go back to what you said about, like, when people make the back in my day conversation, realize that there is an advantage to being able to reflect on those dunk contests from 20 to 30 years ago, because the further you get removed from the first dunk contest, the, you know, it's harder to find more creativity because essentially every dunk has already been performed. So when you're able to do it 25 years ago, yes, there's more creativity involved. Whereas now, it's hard to go into that bag of tricks. You see guys jumping over cars or using, you know, cupcake candles. Like, it's tougher to come with that because we've seen so many of these already.
Yeah, but it's beyond. Listen, it's beyond the creativity. It's the aggressiveness, right? It's the aggressiveness of the dunk or. You know, being demonstrative, you know, when you, you know, when you're up there at the rim.
Yeah, but it's not like these judges are sitting there calculating aggression. It's based on how well you think the dunk was executed. And again, we've seen all of these already. So it's different iterations of the same dunk. Which is why the All-Star game has, which is why the dunk contest has lost luster. But I'm with you on that. I'm not particularly excited about it. I love the skills competition. I love the 3-point shootout. And the actual game itself, you get 30 of the best stars on the same court. Like, that's fun. But the dunk contest, I'm going to watch it because I love hoops, but I really don't have interest in it as much as the other events.
800-919-3776. Let's go to Cliff in Jersey. Cliff, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. How are you?
Hey.
I'm very disappointed that Zion's not in the dunk contest. You know, simply between he's one of the upcoming stars that's coming into the NBA, and it's really good to showcase, you know, just an extra skill set. You know, maybe it's an arrogance that he's not in the dunk contest, same as LeBron was never in the dunk contest, and I'm disappointed. You know, because. You know, when I was younger, I had to ask my mom and my dad, say, hey, you know, can I stay up till 11 o'clock at night to watch the dunk contest? And now right. I just feel like it's disappointing.
I hear you. I hear you, Cliff. Thank you for your phone call. Appreciate it. 800-919-3776. Eddie in Rockland, I see you. I know you want to talk about Sam Darnold. We're going to switch gears. Let's dive into some NFL talk. Take a look around the landscape of the NFL. Where does everything sit and stand right now with the quarterback situation? And what potentially could happen this week. I really don't believe that a lot of quarterback movement or quarterback discussion is going to happen until we get closer to the draft, during the draft, or even after the draft. And I will dive into that even further. Let's talk some Jets. Let's talk what would you like to see them do with Sam Darnold? There's a lot of talk and a lot of excitement around Zach Wilson. The Jets taking him at 2 and then trading Sam Darnold. or possibly trading Sam Darnold prior to the draft. So let's dive into that next. Anita Marks with you on this Sunday morning here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Talking about the Jets and what the Jets are going to do. Boy, are they fortunate sitting at two? Because we know, and listen, could they be more fortunate sitting at one? And then it's a no-brainer. It's Trevor Lawrence, which, by the way, very interesting. Chris Sims, a friend of mine, used to work with him at Bleacher Report. Love his show. Watch his show every afternoon in the morning. I totally respect his opinion and his wealth of knowledge when it comes to the NFL. Has his quarterback rankings out. He's got Zach Wilson above Trevor Lawrence. He's got Zach Wilson as his number one quarterback. Now, everybody is expecting the Jacksonville Jaguars to take Trevor Lawrence. I believe they will as well. Big reason why Urban Meyer accepted the job and went there knowing that he was going to get Trevor Lawrence. And let me tell you something. Don't sleep on Jacksonville. Jacksonville's got the most – Jacksonville, I had David Cantor, NFL agent, on my show on Friday and yesterday as well. And he said, listen – the situation where the NFL is right now in regard to free agency, Jacksonville can sign any player they want. They are so ahead of the curb, head and shoulders. They are so above every other team when it comes to salary cap space that they could sign whoever they want. I'm actually right now, while we're here, this is what I want to do. I want to look and I want to see, is there, what are the odds out there? Team futures. Division winner. In the AFC South, listen, I love the Colts, right? I love the addition of Carson Wentz. I'm a Carson Wentz believer. Colts, you can get at -106. I think to win the AFC South, I think that's the best. Talk about best bets. Should we do that? Should we do that read right now? Anita's lock of the week. This is Anita's lock of the year, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. And that is the Colts to win the AFC South, and you could get them at -106 right now. Hashtag run, don't walk. Okay? Because a few things. A, they add Carson Wentz. B, they are going to build an offensive scheme around him, something that Doug Peterson and the Eagles neglected to do. And better offensive line, for sure. Better skilled position players he's going to be playing with this coming season. Depth at the running back position. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, are you kidding me? Solid defense. And they are another team that are going to be active and attractive and are going to be winners in free agency this offseason. So the Colts at -106 to win the AFC South. Lock of the year, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, props, futures bets at the King of Sportsbooks and make sure that you get the app. But with that being said, I don't see, and we're talking about Jacksonville, of course, I don't see the will they make the playoffs, will they not? As soon as that bet comes out, right now for right now for Jacksonville to win the division is 13-1, okay? I'm not putting money on that. Like I said, the Colts are going to win this division. But as soon as the bet comes out, Jacksonville to make it to the postseason or not, I'm on it. Why not? And that's probably going to be some good plus money there as well. Not only because of the number of draft picks that they have, but also the amount of salary cap space that they're going to have and how aggressive they're going to be. And oh, by the way, Urban Meyer, head coach, of course, we know his track record in college and getting Trevor Lawrence, who we all believe is, you know, the best quarterback. Majority of us believe he's the best quarterback coming out. But back to my point, Chris Sims has Zach Wilson as the best quarterback. He has ranked Zach Wilson above Trevor Lawrence. Now, I host a draft show every Friday night on my social media platform, at Anita Marks on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube channel, what have you, with Steve Verderosa, former Giant scout for over 30 years. Love the man. Think he's brilliant. Our first show, we just completed our third show this past Friday. So we've done quarterbacks, we did running backs, and we just did offensive linemen. And that is living in the digital media space. So if you missed any of those shows, I highly recommend you go back and you watch them. not just for me, but again, Steve Verderosa, who's just absolutely brilliant. He's been a scout in the NFL for over 30 years. He knows his stuff. So this is what he said about Zach Wilson. Okay. What are the positives? Great pocket mobility, really tough guy, great athlete, good arm, not great. What does that mean? Good arm, not great, not elite throwing outside. And here's the thing. You need to be able to throw outside the numbers in the NFL. And those throws have to be on a rope. And based on the film that Steve has watched, this is something that Zach Wilson has not been able to do. And here's the big one. And I hear about this all the time. And here's where Sam Darnold has a leg up on everyone, an arm up, however you want to phrase it. Zach Wilson does not throw wide receivers open. What does that mean? He doesn't end. So he's throwing to wide receivers when they are open, not when he's anticipating them to get open. He is not, if you look at film, he's not throwing to guys to a certain point where he's anticipating them to be more so than the defender. He's waiting for the receiver to be open, and then he completes. And that will not fly in the NFL. That does not fly in the NFL. And one thing that I heard about Sam Darnold, when Sam Darnold was coming out of USC and I was in Indianapolis for the combine, the majority of scouts that I spoke to, that was the one thing about Sam Darnold that they loved. They gushed about Sam Darnold, and especially the lack of playing time that Sam Darnold, as we know, it's been documented, Sam Darnold didn't start playing football till later on in life. And so, you know, the lack of experience in the fact that he had that innate, I like to call it, and I steal this from Michael Lombardi, very dear friend of mine, former executive in the NFL and now part of our media, but Michael Lombardi calls it the crib factor. And I love that. And I tell him, I'm going to steal that from you. Every time I use it, I'll give you a shout out. But it's something you're born with. It's innate. I don't know if that's something that you can teach. Is it something that a quarterback can develop and learn? Yes. But if they've already got it in their arsenal and it's part of their makeup, then they can even hone on it even better as they grow as a quarterback. So those are the negatives in regard to Zach Wilson. Now, all these quarterbacks have negatives in some way, shape, or form. But not being able to throw on a tight rope outside the mark and not throwing to wide receivers to get them open as opposed to when they are open, these are two big negatives when it comes to scouting quarterbacks. So I share that, like, you know, what will the Jets do? Here's the thing. Here's hashtag champagne problems. They've got options, right? Are they going to make an aggressive play for Deshaun Watson? Are they going to trade Sam Darnold? Are they going to trade down? Are they going to take Zach Wilson and trade Sam Darnold? There's a lot of options there, but the more and more, and what we're hearing from a number of analysts and a number of people who cover the NFL is that the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson and trade Sam Darnold. And with all due respect, listen, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to pretend to be a general manager. With all due respect, you know how much I like Joe D. I'm thrilled for, I knew him when he was with Baltimore. I was thrilled when the Jets hired him. Robert Saleh, I'm excited for this union. I think the future is bright for the Jets. Me personally, based on what I'm hearing from scouts in regards to Zach Wilson, I would trade that pick. I would trade down, and I know folks think I'm nuts, but I like Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is the second best quarterback in this draft. I know he's not sexy. I know he looks like a nerd. I know there's no bells and whistles. He's a pocket quarterback. He doesn't have the athleticism or, you know, the sex appeal of a number of these other quarterbacks like Justin Fields and Trey Lance. But 75% of this position is cerebral. You think how athletic do you think Tom Brady is? not much. Not very. 75% of this position is cerebral. And this dude, not only is he the most cerebral quarterback coming out, but he is the most accurate. He is the most accurate. For him to come in and do even here's another thing. Marinating this for a minute. Two of this, two of that. As we know, last year the Dolphins took Tua number one overall. Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Tua. And Tua went first overall. Why? Sex appeal, athletic, creates more of a scrambling quarterback. But right now, the Dolphins are sitting here deciding and trying to anticipate, what are they going to do? Are they going to make a big push for Deshaun Watson with the number three pick? Are they going to take another quarterback in this draft because they've already lost confidence in Tua, who got benched twice in the last six games of the season? You know, I was screaming from the mountaintops, take Justin Herbert, take Justin Herbert. I think the Dolphins got enamored with Tua. The fan base was tank for Tua. Wrong decision. Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Tua, and Tua went number one overall to the Dolphins last year. Look at what Mac Jones has done more at Alabama with less. Look at the roster Tua was working with. Look at the roster Mac Jones was working with this year. Look at the accuracy numbers. Look at the leadership. So, and I know I'm getting destroyed on social media. I don't care. I mean, it's my opinion. It's my 2 cents. Maybe some people feel it's worth 3 cents. But if I'm the Jets, that's what I do. I think Mac Jones is the second best quarterback in this draft. And listen, we won't know for another 2 or 3 years, possibly 5, right? We won't know.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, this is going to be a fun segment. And again, we stumbled upon this a few weeks ago, and we're trying to fine tune it. So I know it's a lot more fun with me and Ty and Michael can participate, but we already know the answers. So, and really at the end of the day, this show is all about our listeners. It's all for you. So we're going to bring in our first contestant. He's going to go as far as he can, answering the questions correctly. If he gets one wrong, then we'll go to our next caller and our next contestant. Understood? And the person who answers the most questions correctly, winner, chicken dinner. We don't have anything to give away. I don't know. Maybe that can change in the next few weeks. Who knows? But like I said, we're having fun with this. All right. So here we go. Sal is our first contestant. Sal, welcome in.
Hello.
How you doing?
All right. Good, Anita.
Okay. What area of town are you from, Sal?
Lodi, New Jersey.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go, guys. Question number one.
This is Jeopardy. And now, here is the host of Jeopardy, Alex Trebek.
Thanks, Johnny, and welcome, players. It's Sunday, which means it's time for Sports Clues.
You can play Sports Jeopardy or catch up on the clues from this week. Which would you like to play?
Sports Jeopardy.
Here are the Sports Jeopardy clues for this week.
The first category is from athlete to owner. In 2013, Shaquille O'Neal became a minority owner of this NBA team that he derided when he was a player.
Sal?
Orlando Magic?
What's the answer, gentlemen?
The correct response was, who are the Sacramento Kings?
Nope. Didn't get it, Sal. Sorry. By the way, Sal, if it makes you feel any better, I said the same thing. Not sure if you guys have the sound effect for... I know that's kind of rude, but if we have it, let's try it. Let's go to Robert in the car. Robert, you're up. Welcome in.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for question number two?
I am ready.
Here we go. Gentlemen.
Our next Jeopardy category is schoolyard sports. This sport has a ball attached to a pole by a cord, and two players trying to avoid getting hit in the face.
What's the sport, Robert?
I know the sport. I don't remember what it's called, though.
Try and guess. Throw it out. Throw something out.
No, I got nothing. Sorry.
All right. Good try. All right, gentlemen. What's the answer?
The correct response was, what is tetherball?
When I was a child, my grandmother made me one of those for my backyard. She took this big tire, filled it up with cement, put a pole in it, and then put one of those balls on it. So I had one of those when in my backyard when I was a kid. All right, here we go. Contestant number three, Dave from Cold Spring. Dave, welcome in. How you doing?
Hi, Anita. How are you?
I'm great. You ready to rock and roll?
We're ready to rock and roll. I'm in the car with the
family.
Here we go.
Hold on. Gentlemen, question number...
Go ahead.
Question number three, guys.
Your category is golf legends. At the 2017 Solheim Cup, played between the top European and U.S. women, the captain of the European team was this Swedish golf legend.
Dave?
Annika Sorenstam?
Gentlemen?
The correct response was, who is Annika Sorenstam?
Woo! All right. All right. One for one, Dave. You ready for number two? Here we go.
The next Jeopardy category is sports retirements. Born to Greek immigrants, this American tennis star announced his retirement in August 2003, just after his 32nd birthday.
Dave?
Andy Roddick?
The correct response was, who is Pete Sampras?
Sorry, Dave. But listen, at least you got one right. At least you got one right. This is 800-919-3776. We've got one more contestant on. He's going to have to rip through these. If not, we'll go to somebody else. If you want to try to test your sports knowledge, get on board right now. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Tom in Staten Island. Tom, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, Nina? How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. You feel? I mean, listen. It has not been a great showing so far. Are you feeling confident?
I know. Yeah, I'm gonna try to run a few. Do my best. Oh.
All right. Here we go. Here we go, guys. Next question.
Your fifth Jeopardy category is sports venues. In August 2005, this Texas sports venue housed about 25,000 victims of Hurricane Katrina.
Tom?
What is the New Orleans Superdome?
The correct response was, what is the Astrodome?
So, I know, Tom, thanks for trying. I know it was kind of like a trick question, right? Because you probably heard Katrina, so you thought New Orleans. But keep in mind, if you recall, when Katrina happened, so many people were displaced and they had to go to Texas. All right, here we go. Let's go to Chris in Jersey. Chris, welcome in.
How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for participating. This is fun. All right, you feeling confident? We've only gotten one answered correctly. I'm looking for somebody to go on a run here. All right, you ready?
I knew all the ones that guy had, so but that means I'm probably due. Should not get something, so I'll give it a shot.
All right, here we go, gentlemen. What's the next question?
On August 26th, 1961, the Hall of Fame for this sport opened in Toronto.
Hockey. What is
the
hockey?
Correct response was, what is hockey?
There you go. All right, here you go. Up next.
The next category is Major League Baseball records. In August 1985, this 20-year-old New York Met became the youngest pitcher to win 20 games in the major leagues.
Chris?
Who is Doc Gooden?
The correct response was, who is Dwight Gooden?
All right, you're two for two. Here we go.
Your next category is World Championships. In 2021, Huelva, Spain is set to host the BWF World Championships. The B stands for this racket sport.
Oh, I really couldn't hear what the question was, to be honest with you. Can you repeat it?
Your next category is World Championships. In 2021, Huelva, Spain is set to host the BWF World Championships. The B stands for this racket sport.
Badminton. What is badminton?
The correct response was, what is badminton?
Wow. Chris, you're on a roll, dude. You're on a roll. Here we go. Question number
four. Our ninth category is Little League World Series winners. After the U.S., teams from this Southeast Asian nation have won the most Little League World Series championships.
Let's go with, what is Chinese Taipei?
The correct response was, what is Taiwan?
Sorry, Chris. Chris, but great job. You know, you got three correct. So I appreciate it. All right. So we've got one, two, we've got three. So we've got three more sports Jeopardy questions. Let's bring in James from New Jersey. James, let's see if you could tie Chris's record for today. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go, guys.
The 10th category is the pentathlon. The modern pentathlon world championships include competitions in fencing, riding, shooting, running, and this event.
Cross-country skiing?
The correct response was, what is swimming?
Sorry, James. Sorry. Apologize. All right, so we've got two more questions. We've got another contestant we're lining up right now. So with two more questions, you know, Chris is the big winner today, which is really, really impressive. You know, that and you could say, well, he got easy questions. We're not controlling the questions. Oh, we're bringing a female to the sport. I love it. Let's go to Kate in Jersey. Kate, welcome in.
Hey, Anita.
This is so great. I love that a female is participating. This is awesome. All right, so we've got two more questions. Let's see if you can get both answered correctly. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Your next category is Heisman Trophy winners. 2016's Lamar Jackson was the first Heisman winner from this school.
Kate, where did Lamar Jackson go to college?
I don't know.
Gentlemen?
The correct response was, what is Louisville?
Kate, thanks for participating. I appreciate it. And our last question, let's bring in Jim from Long Island. Jim, welcome in. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Let's see if you can get this one answered correctly. Let's go.
Our last Jeopardy category is Dancing with the Gymnastics Stars. This superstar of Rio's Olympics was eliminated in the semifinals of Dancing with the Stars in May 2017.
I don't have the slightest idea. Couldn't even get. I have no idea. I was hoping
you're gonna hate yourself once you hear this answer. Go ahead, guys.
The correct response was, who is Simone Biles?
Simone Biles. She's on all the Uber Eats. Jim, she's on all the Uber Eats commercials. She's crying.
Believe me, I know who Simone Biles is. I had no idea that she was even. Oh my God. Thank you.
Jim, thank you. Thanks for participating. And guys, our producers, Michael and Ty, thank you. Thanks for making that happen today. I appreciate you guys.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.